Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Atlanta today with a preaching entitled Law for Life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live, and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law, which I am setting before you today?'" Before heading to bed last night, I went in search of the moon. "Where are you?" I asked. "Ah," she spoke, "as the thinnest of slivers in the sky, I have almost entirely disappeared. On September 2nd, I will be a new moon. I have a rule of life that I live by, you see. Every 28 days, I cycle through my various phases. And it's important that I do so because my cycles are what sway the tides. And without the tides, the estuaries would not be cleansed. Many plants and animals count on this ebb and flow to survive. Indeed, even the fishermen could not set sail without being able to count on the tides. So you can count on me." I laid down and slept like a log until light began to peek too soon through the blinds. "What are you doing up already?" I asked the sun. "Of course I'm up," the sun replied. "Today I shall rise in Atlanta at 7:12 a.m. and set at 8:02 p.m. You can count on that. I have a rule that guides my life, and I follow it so closely that the newspapers can report it confidently in advance. If I did not live the rhythm I was established to live, the farmer would not know how to mark the seasons, when to plant the crops, when to harvest them." I went and filled the tea kettle with water and placed it on the stovetop. "Come on already," I urged. "When are you going to boil?" It whistled at me. "At 212 degrees Fahrenheit. You can count on it." I was so taken aback, I dropped my teaspoon. 9.8 meters per second, it clanged as it hit the floor. Beginning to see a pattern, I sat down with my tea for morning prayer with something to meditate upon. Today, September 1st, marks the World Day of Prayer for Care of Creation. And while it's a more modern celebration, it has ancient roots. In both Judaism and Orthodox Christianity, September is revered as the month in which God first began ordering the cosmos. Indeed, among the Orthodox, it is often stated that God began creating on September 1st, 5509 BC. And for many years, this date marked the beginning of the Orthodox liturgical year. Aware of the growing climate crisis in 1989, the Ecumenical Patriarch Demetrios declared September 1st as a day of prayer for creation. The World Council of Churches joined suit in 2008, the Anglican Communion in 2012, the Catholic Church in 2015. This day now opens what's known as the season of creation that will stretch from now until the Feast of St. Francis on October 4th. It's a time in which we are to give thanks for all creation does for us. Its marvelous patterns and rhythms, guided by an intelligence so much greater than our own, that allow life, including our own lives, to flourish. But it's also a time, in the words of the Patriarch Demetrios, to pray in supplication for its protection and salvation. For the intricate web of patterns and rhythms that support life on our planet are now in grave danger. Not because the sun and moon, stars and water, even the plants or animals, have suddenly rebelled against the laws they were given, but because there is one creature who through all of time has struggled to figure out just where they fit in the big scheme of things. A creature capable of asking questions about meaning and justice and what right relationship with other creatures looks like in a way that no other creature can. And not to be left out, this creature too has come to know the rhythms and patterns of life, slowly discerned through lived experience and revelation that would enable them to play their righteous role in the world, that the whole of creation would thrive. But unlike any other, this creature has been given the freedom to choose to obey that law or not. That creature, of course, is us. And that choice has often been for the or not. And so today, as we begin this season of creation anew, we are confronted by the word of God first spoken to the people of Israel by Moses in the wilderness. In the original scriptures, it refers to the liturgical and moral norms of the Torah. But I think without much stretch of the imagination, we can also easily hear God still speaking these words to us, perhaps with just a small tweak. Now, people of God, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live. Not so that you might be burdened and weighed down and feel like you are under a heavy yoke, but so that you might live. I want you to have life, life in abundance. I make clear to you what you must do at this moment in time so that you might be able to truly live and might enter in and live in right relationship with the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Can you imagine God speaking these words to us, to you, today? And if so, let's get personal here. What might you do? What might you change to live the rhythms and patterns that would put you in right relationship with all of creation? For each of us is called to live in such a way that the moon and stars and sun and tides, plants and animals would be able to count on us as well. And together, we are called to live in such a way that future generations will be able to say, this great nation was truly a wise and intelligent people.